Guys, we are talking on prayer this month, and we're really going for it. And I'm really sharing stuff I think that changed my life. This is the third sermon in this series, but like I say every week, each part can actually stand on its own. So don't feel too worried that you're going to be in the middle of something and not understand the beginning and the end. What you can do is you can go to the website. The guys at the info table will help you, and you can download the previous sermons and maybe make yourself a bit of a prayer folder on your iPad or whatever, and you can catch up. I'll do a quick recap, but it's not going to help you because we went into depth in some of these things. But let's just go to the next slide. I need to fly through 10 slides just to almost get everyone on one page. Every Monday, always we pray, all right? But while we're doing this sermon series, we're taking it a bit slower and we are helping more people to pray with us. So we take one thing that we'll be talking about tonight, and we'll take it to intercession. And we'll literally practice one way of praying for one person or maybe one family member or a friend. So you're invited. We had more people than usual last week. People came to be a part and to learn. So please come tomorrow night if you want to grow your prayer muscle a bit. It's a good time. It's a good time to ask questions as well. And then we are looking forward to fasting next month. Some of us have never fasted, and some guys are very excited. Some are very scared. But I'm looking forward to it, because something special always happens when we fast together. And but we'll talk more about the fast next month. But it comes in very closely with this whole prayer sermon series, and more about that later. Right, this is the first sermon. Part one, we ask the question, why do we pray? Okay, that's where we started off. Why do we pray? That's all I'm going to say about that week. That's where we started. Get it off the internet. Part two, there's mainly three things we said about praying. Before I go into that, we took a lot of time explaining this very big word. If you can just go to the title slide for a second, Rowena, please. It sounds like some other Terminator movie or something. Intercession or intercessory prayer. All right, it sounds very complex, like a lot of wires are mixed up or something. The only thing intercession means is to go between two parties, to go between two people. I was actually speaking at the post office this week. Every now and then, Joyce's mom is in charge of the post office, and she phones me about once every 2 months, and then I just go and give them a quick message and encourage them at the post office. Someone that works at the post office, actually, they do intercession. Did you know that? Because they go between you and the person that you are sending the briefie to. Okay, your envelope. So they do a work of intercession actually every single day. Now, Christ was the intercessor, okay? The main intercessor for our faith. What it means is he went between the Father and us, okay? He did actually a work of intercession. Om tussen te gang. Ek weet nie wat 'n lekker Afrikaanse beskrywing is vir intercession. We're struggling with it. Maar om tussen te gaan, om 'n tussenganger te wees. Okay. So, what we've learned is because Christ did a work of intercession going between us and God, we can now pray prayers of intercession. What that means is I can come into the presence of God because of Jesus, and then I can pray for someone who doesn't even know God. I can create a meeting between them and God. So I can say, Lord, I want to pray. Just imagine Rudy is not with us tonight and he's not interested in church and God or everything, and I want to pray for him. Then I will say, Father, I want to bring Rudy before you. What am I doing? I'm creating a meeting between the Father and Rudy. I'm doing a prayer of intercession. Okay, is everyone okay with that term? Okay, so you're going to see it. And then we also said the Hebrew word for intercession is, what's that word again? Paga, okay? Paga means to meet. So every time when you pray and you say, Father, it's amazing to talk to you, you are creating a meeting, paga, all right? So you can meet for yourself with God, but you can also bring someone else in the meeting through prayer. That's why it's amazing. You can pray for someone that doesn't even know you. You can just see them at work, and you can create a meeting between them and God. Intercession. Okay. That's it. We spent some time on the first sermon talking through it. That's your recap. So this is a statement we made. We said God is so committed to us that he chose to work through us, not independently of us. Okay? God is like a player in a rugby team that could score the try every time he gets the ball, but he plays it to the other guys. Okay? He wants to play with us. Okay? He's like, no try, yay. And then they tackle us. Boom! In the grond, and it's not, sometimes it doesn't end well. But he just persists in this partnering with us and not doing it himself. And this is how we got to that. Genesis 2 verse 15, still recapping, I'm going fast. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and keep it. And that word, keep it, meant that he actually gave it over to Adam to work the garden. Which means in your life, where you work, when you do stuff, God actually, if you're a dad, if you're a father, or if you're married, you are given a family by God to look over them. Whose family is it? God's family. Who's looking over it? You. Soos 'n voorman. Soos elke week omtrent gesê, soos 'n voorman by 'n plaas, né? It's not his farm, but he can actually mess up the whole year or the whole farm. And that's the way in which God gave over to us the responsibilities in this world. That's why we pray. It's another verse for us, Psalm 115. I'm still recapping. That's why I'm going fast, okay? The heavens are the Lord's, okay? But the earth he has given to the children of man. Can I ask you something? Does it sound theologically right to take from that scripture this statement, men can mess up earth? Does that sound right? Yes. We can ruin this place. You can ruin your family. Even though it's not yours, it's God's, but you are given to look over, to protect, to care for. All right? So we can mess this earth up. How's it going with this earth? It's not going that great, right? And so people say, oh, we must serve a terrible God. No, we are terrible at keeping what was given to us. But that's why we are here. We're building a kingdom, right? We're trying to bring heaven to earth so that through our lives something might shine through that is different in this world. Okay? That's why we're here. I'm almost done with the recap. We said, so we represent Jesus, okay? Jesus intercedes for us. Now we intercede based on his intercession, okay? He did a work for us, and now we can also bring others before him. I said that. Awesome. Can we go to just slide 9? 3 more slides of recapping, then go on. Paga, there's a meeting that happened at the cross. We said intercession happened at the cross. What happened at the cross? What met? Mercy met with judgment. God all along wanted to be kind to us, but we were so full of sin. So what did Jesus do? He met with judgment. God the Father turned his back. The earth got dark. He judged Christ. Christ met with God's judgment, and we met with God's mercy. It's meetings. Righteousness, sins, same thing. Love met hate. A cursed one on a tree, Jesus, met the curse that originated from a tree. Every mistake, every little thing that Adam organized for us, him and Eve in the garden, Jesus came and paid for it. So that if we step into a relationship with God, we are restored. Okay? God said, something died in you in the garden for Adam and Eve. But if we connect with God, we will never die again. We live for eternity. God made a way. Death is now a door because of what Christ did. Amen? Awesome. So let's just slide number 11. So we finished up last week. We said, in prayer, meetings happen. So if I'm praying for my friend Rudy here, he's in a terrible situation. He's caught up with, I don't know, he's addicted to a different kind of stuff, and I'm going to pray for him. I create a meeting, Father, I bring Rudy to you. Then there's that breaking, there's an ugly meeting, okay? Father, I break that power of addiction. I say, Satan, you've got no hold in Rudy's life, you will let him go. We meet Satan, did you know that? In prayer, we meet the enemy. Why can we do that? Because Christ first met him. The Bible says he made a public spectacle. So we meet with Satan. I break the power of sin. I pray a blessing. Now, Father, come into his life and change him. And I distribute everything I can think of that God has a promise for him. I pray it into his life. That's a quick recap. Everyone with me? New guys, you're going to feel like you're in a tumble dryer. Don't worry. If you're interested in this, get the sermon of last week. Let's start with this week. Okay, we're moving on. Part 3, intercessory prayer, protection and building walls. Ons is in die boubedryf vanaand, okay? Wie's die bouers hier? Julle gaan verstaan, Rickert. Julle manne met die lang lere, verstaan wat ek hier sê. And I'm going to teach you 2 Greek words so that you may act and look smart, like every week. Is that okay? Ben's got a big list of all the Greek words. He's gone for a church and then he repeats them to his wife. She finds it very romancing. So, you can try it. It works. Okay, the first thing, we're actually working to this place of building walls, but it's actually going to get us a while to get there. We're going to start somewhere, and we're still asking this question, why do we actually pray? If God is in control, and he is so mighty, why do we pray? And the first week already, we said that God to us facilitated this earth, that we must intercede. We must bring heaven to earth. We must bring God's love into our marriage. All right? There's a place of taking ownership. And tonight, we're moving towards this whole thing of protection. Building walls of protection. Now, I'm going to take you on a quick journey. There's something for tonight we can call governing principles or graces. I like actually governing graces more because I don't want us to think about God in the way of rules, you know, making a lot of rules. I should do as I happy, I should need to do as I quads. I like this thing about governing graces more. Okay, this is very important. God's love towards you in your life. What do we always say? It's what? God's love is unconditional. It's there. He loves you whether you mess up or not. Agree? That's why he saves sinners. If that was not true, he would not have died for us. His love is there. Here's the question. Is God's favor unconditional? Is God's favor, God's guns, né? Is it automatic? Is it universal? Is it as present as his unconditional love? What do you guys think? No. It's not. God's favor, God's blessing in your life rests a whole lot on what you put in the ground, what you sow. What you sow, you will reap. When you reap destruction, when you mess it up good, does that mean God does not love you? It's got nothing to do with that. He loves you. That's why he teaches you what good seed is, so that you can put good seed in the ground. All right? So when you reap a harvest of destruction and alles wat mal is gebeur met jou, it's not that God doesn't love you anymore. He's crazy in love with you. It's that you are putting seeds in the ground that is organizing destruction for you. And I always make this joke, and you know, and I'm going to say it again, the whole Facebook thing. You mess up your whole life, and then you give God the glory for it. You say, maar die Here het 'n plan. Hy het 'n plan, maar jy volg 'n ander een. Okay? He loves you. He loves you. And that's why we are here, to teach one another. Now, a governing principle is that thing where God teaches us if we connect with Him in this thing, we are going to reap intense blessings. When it comes to your marriage, being married doesn't mean you're happily married. Just because you're married, that's not the thing. You can have a terrible marriage and you can push it through and make it all the way. All right? But what about God's love? He loves you, but there's a way to invite Him into your marriage. It's a governing principle. If you do these things, you reap the goodness of God. Okay, that is, are you with me? Do you understand the whole term governing principle? Who understands it? Can I just see if you're awake? Okay, great. Paar handen gaan op. Yes. Okay, so with this thing, there's a place of partnering with God's goodness. All right? And we're steering towards protection. Can you already see where I'm heading with this? Is God's protection over your life as present and unconditional as His love? No. Does He want you to be protected? Yes. Okay. But you can make it very difficult for God to protect you by ignoring or actively putting stuff in the ground that lifts God's protection from you. He wants to protect you, but He can only do it in partnership with you. He came, made a way so that you can come to the Father and walk in partnership. And so with the Father and with the church and everything He's given us, you actually can know how to plant seeds of blessing. Governing principles. Okay, let's just read this together. It's just a way of putting it together. As a disciple of Jesus becomes more and more like Him, we open doors in our lives for supernatural blessing and momentum. I can do this more or I can do this less. I specifically don't want to talk about I open doors for hurt and open doors for demons. I want to tell you, you can open doors for blessings. All right? That sounds better. It's like, okay, we're on the front foot here. Check this out. It's the weirdest scripture for me. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor. Can you believe that? Jesus grew in favor. How? I don't understand. But if He grew in favor, let me tell you what, you have to grow in favor. How do you grow in favor? How do you experience the favor of God and blessings? You put the right seeds in the ground. All right? How do you experience His protection? That's where we're going. Check this out. We're going to go fast. Isaiah 1 verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat good fruit of the land. Interesting, eh? There's a way in which I can live towards God. There's a way in which my life can go, which makes me more aligned to eat the good of the land. En Ben, ons hou van eet. Nee? Ek het, by the way, nog niemand so baie sien eet soos Benny. Challenge on. As iemand om wil challenge, dat weet my, ons organise a hot dog. Ek dink Rickard kan jy daar ook go gee, maar ons wil soeits organise. Check this out. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What about God's love? He loves you 100%. Did everything for you. Sin paid, price paid for the Holy Spirit to walk with you and be your best friend forever. But if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the land. Which means God can love you, but you don't eat of the land. Can you see that, guys? There's a partnership He wants with you. And that's why we are here. That's why you're not a Christian because someone gives you a leaflet that says Jesus loves you and you go home and you're fixed for life. We are discovering God. We are walking together. And we're discovering Him in so many areas of our lives. And as a church, we seek to grow in this and move forward and see His grace and His love come into all those areas of our lives. Check this out. And whenever you stand praying, this is sometimes a big one, especially where there's real hurt. Check this out. If you have anything against anyone, so that you're forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you. Scary verse. You want to experience God's forgiveness and His peace. You want to feel like, man, God is so close to me. I experience a place of peace with God. You want to have that? Forgive. What's the seed you put in the ground to experience peace and God's forgiveness? The seed is you also forgive others. Ja, maar jy weet nie wat daai persoon gedoen het nie. Well, I'll tell you what. There's nothing more valuable than your peace, righteousness, and joy before God. I will forgive any person to remain, have that bond with God. What about God's love? It's 100%. 100% unconditional. He loves you. This is what you must do. Partnering with Him. We're talking about governing principles. And we're working our way up to protection. Check this. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ or the word of God. You want to absolutely grow in faith? You want to be a man of faith? You cannot be a man of faith without eating the word of God. It is not possible. Ja, maar ek post elke dag op Facebook 'n vers. I don't care. Ek het 'n kruis wat hang in my kar. Metaal. Maak niks. It's the magic key. Beloof jou. Die wonderwerk is as jy draai. Okay? That's the miracle. Do you want to be a man of faith? There's no way of sidestepping a furious love relationship with God's word. But you are here, so it's washing over you. Step one, well done. Get into your Bible. So, God loves you 100%, but if you want to grow in faith, get into the word. Talking about governing principles, governing graces. Isn't this amazing? But see the promise. If you stick your nose in the Bible, you will grow in faith. Don't look at the negative side. See this promise. If you make a commitment to get your face in the Bible, stuff's going to happen. It must. Your faith will jump into line with God's word, which is always true. So feed your faith some word and you see what happens. It's amazing. I'm giving you all this governing principle so that you understand what we're saying. Oh, check this, baby. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. And I will rebuke the devourer for you. Who's the devourer? Satan, okay? So I will take him away. I will keep Satan away from your stuff so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and the vine and your field shall not bear. What you are working for, what you are saving for, what you are doing with your finances. You want protection? Bible says we tithe. It's a governing principle. No, but God loves me. He loves you 100%. He has a governing principle. You want to be protected in your finances? You want that 90% that you have in your hand to be blessed? You need to trust God with 10. The word says, let's move on. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. You want to grow out of a heaviness? Out of feeling depressed, hey, we all feel like that. Ons almal voel so nou en dan soos 'n bak Rice Krispies wat 'n dag staan, né? Taai en pap. Okay? And then you try and wash those Rice Krispies off, puppy. Heel dag. It's going nowhere. I'm hungry, sorry. I'm thinking about food. Any case. Do you want to move from a place of feeling heavy? Do you want to experience joy in your life again? What do? You worship the King. But sometimes we get it the other way around. When I feel like worship, I worship. The times when I don't feel like worship is the most important times for me to worship. I don't want to worship now. I feel heavy. I feel down. That's what the Bible says. Put on the garment of praise. Lord, you are so good to me. I just want to lift your name. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. You are always there. I just worship you. That's how you get rid of heaviness. It's amazing how God, he always turns this world upside down. Okay, so just summarizing this again, I'm giving you that same. So, bringing it all together, as a disciple of Jesus becomes more like him, as you discover him in church, now you've given your heart to them, you've experienced his love. As you become more like him, we open doors into our lives for supernatural blessings. And I just quickly mentioned a few. And it's interesting, every single governing principle of God, go look at it. Every single one honors the two commandments that Jesus gives. It's either to love the Lord your God with all your heart or to bless others. If you think about it, you forgive someone else, God blesses you. You are generous when it comes to your tithe. A lot of people get blessed, God bless you. You worship God, love him with all your heart, you get lift out of heaviness. It's amazing. God is not a man that he should lie. He's true to his word. It doesn't care what your problem is, your issue. There's an answer for you in God's word. Did you know that? The first thing is to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means you're going this direction. Okay? And now you hear and you say, God, help me. Are you willing to do this? Turn around and go into a new direction. Bible says if we repent, he washes us, we become clean. That's where we start, and then we grow. Okay. So when we talk about the grace of God, God's love, God's peace, when you come to him, he forgives you and he loves you. If you want to grow as a disciple, you need to get into these things. That's why you have a small group, because people make you mad, and then you must forgive them. That's why you come to church, so someone can irritate you and that you can grow in the spirit, in the fruits of the spirit. It's amazing, huh? Awesome. You're a lovely bunch of people. All right, so here we go. Supernatural protection, we're talking about building walls, is connected to following God and knowing his will or his governing laws. Okay? I do want to state this. There's a overarching protection that comes from God that we don't even understand. I'll say this straight. Hopefully, Theo can preach next week on spiritual warfare. And he will help us how to deal with demons and all those things. But to ignore it is not the answer, guys. To give them too much glory is also stupid. God is so much stronger. But do you know that Satan wants to kill you? He's got no love and patience for you. He hates you. Why does he hate you? Because you can be a friend of God and he can never, never will be next to God again in a love relationship. He cannot take it that you can be close to God. If it was not for a kind of protection from God, a universal protection, we'd be torn to pieces by the forces of evil. They hate us. So there is a protection over us that is far above our understanding. It's God's grace that just soaks this earth. Okay, that's in one box. Then there's a sense of protection in the same playing field where God said to Adam, here's the garden, now rule over it. Now the decisions he makes here will determine whether there'll be more protection for him or less, whether he steps in a blessing or out. In your life, things God facilitates to you to rule over, God can actually protect your wife very well by raising you up as a good protector. But now, if you don't know God, in essence, she loses protection. Can you see that? It is so facilitated towards us, it is scary. That's why we raise up the strong men in this place. We teach men how to be strong for their wives. Not knowing God, in essence, takes protection out of the house. Okay. Now, let's get specific. It took me a long time to come here. This end part of the sermon is the most important part, but I had to lay a very strong foundation around this thing of governing principles. Now, here's your two words to make you sound and look extremely smart. The first one is chronos. Both words has to do with time. Don't tap out here, okay? Chronos means time in general, okay? So if we say, is it important for someone to pray in their lifetime? Yes, it is, okay? Chronos. Pray in your life, guys. Have a lifestyle of prayer. I'm referring to chronos, general time. Remember to pray. When you're on holiday, guys, remember to pray. Just general time. As you live, it's important to testify. Guys, if you get an opportunity, share your testimony. Just basically, boom. Love the Lord your God with all your heart while you live. Then there's a different type of time, and that's where we actually want to head to tonight. It's called kairos. This is to make you sound smart, so get this, write it down. This is an important moment now. Okay? Kairos speaks about a strategic moment right now. Can I give you an example? If your wife at this moment is giving birth, it doesn't help you pray next week for the birth process. All right? It is done. Die baba is daar. Okay? Jy het dit gemis. Okay? Kairos talks about now. Okay? There's a window of opportunity. We want to testify in our lives. We want to have a lifestyle of testify, chronos. But there's a moment now around this bride place. There's someone who's opening up. We must do it now. Can you see the difference? Now, when it comes to protection, there's a chronos part, general, and there's a kairos part. Number one, if you want to write it down, next one, next slide, connects to chronos. Check what the Bible says. He who dwells, okay, he who lives in the shelter of the Most High. The Bible also says is he who is planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Talks about a lifestyle of being with God, his people, stuck in serving, loving, worshiping. He who is planted will flourish. And this scripture says he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm just going to go on that first verse we just read. Just go to number two. Check this out. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. When? Always. Okay. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God in whom I trust. Chronos. Not now. As a principle, I trust him. Okay. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. As a matter of talking, he will do it. When do you get delivered from the evil? As you are dwelling under the shelter. Can you see there's also a governing principle? But it speaks not about something you do now. It speaks about a way you live. So a part of your protection, I'm going to make it very practical. Being in church, being in a small group, worshiping God here in the front. Hey, I'm not joking. Drinking coffee with the believers afterwards. The Bible says, don't neglect the fellowship. Come together. Enjoying one another. Having an accountability group. Washing the cups. Whatever. Just being here places you under a certain amount of protection as a principle. You can be here and also not be here. Okay? If you are here and you are connected in, let's say you're in my small group. Where's my small group tonight? What about Desi boys? Because what Niels is a voorbeeld. Niels and his wife is in my small group. I saw them from the day he gave his life to God. And now him and his wife, they are the most amazing ministers. Isn't that true? They are awesome. But now we do this together. We do life together because every Wednesday we've got young kids, but we've got a commitment. We take them out in the cold because we're having this time now. we are under the shadow of the Almighty. But now I see something in Niels's marriage is not looking well, and he's not seeing it. But now there's a system in place for protection. I go, Niels, what's going on? I've never heard you talking to Lynette this way. And now as we talk, God breaks open the heart and the situation gets healing. I'm just giving you one example of just the protection God gives just by being in His presence. Are you with me there? But even better, I mean, you can come to church and something happened over the weekend that broke your heart, you sinned, and you can actually, you don't have to wait for someone else to see. You can come to Ben and say, Ben, man, pray with me. Wow, I messed up, and I feel so far from God. You're protected because of what we have here. Ben is here. You have him. You've got access to growth. Okay? When it comes to the governing principle of the us, you are doing well. So there's some kind of protection over you. Can you see that? That's why it's important, guys, to be slotted in. Don't be always a visitor. Become a family member. Become a part of, be a brother and a sister, and deal with all the mess. You know, if you live in the house, you must also clean the toilet. I'm sorry, it's part of being in relationship. There's dirty times. Sometimes as leaders, we meet until 11 o'clock and we disagree about making this place a better place, and should we do this or that, or should we buy this speakers or those speakers. But you know what? We are in relationship and there's protection. Do you understand that? Right. It talks about positioning yourself well. Now, we are talking about intercession. I almost went off the radar and I'm back now, because I want to put this on its proper place. Number two, Kairos, time to build a wall. And there's a reason I took the long road, because there's a time when you have to pray now, but there's also protection in the Kronos, under the shadow of His wings. So I don't want people to go out here stressed out about missing something in prayer. More important, like this, before this, is positioning yourself well. Okay? This builds on top of it, because it's got to do about hearing God's voice. Check this out, Luke 4, verse 13. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Okay? He was waiting for an opportune time to tempt Christ again, which would be a Kairos moment for Christ, because here's He again, tempting me, trying to force me to deny the Father. Then that will be a moment. Now, in general, Christ said, whatever the Father do, I do. In a Kronos way, are you still following me with those two words? Christ were walking under God's protection. But there was moments when temptation came very strong, where He had to stand. And the same for us. Okay? Just more examples. And the ones on the rock are those when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, they're very excited, they worship, it's awesome, but in a time of testing, very specific time, the enemy waits for the opportune time to steal your faith. That is a Kairos time. If you sense it, something must happen in prayer for your protection. Okay? The amazing thing is you can actually build a wall of protection for someone else, whether they know God or not. There's times in someone's life which you love, now we're getting into this, where it is an intense and defining moment in that person's life, and you are called to do what? To build a wall of protection around that person. Can I just use an example? I'll know this will work. Let's say you've got a daughter that's going to the matric farewell. And you know what happens at the after party. You love your daughter with so much love, and you've been praying for her. I know one of us has got kids that age, but just that's why it's maybe a good example. Let's just take our situations out of it, but just get into that mom's shoes for a moment. She's going to go to that after party. This is a Kairos moment for you to pray. Father, create the meeting. I bring Lisa to you. I am so scared of what's going to happen. But right now, I am building a wall around my daughter. I am bringing her into your presence. Father, equip her right now. Now you distribute. Lord, fill her with your love. Let her see how much you love her and how valuable she is. Father, right now, may your protection be around her. And then you make the ugly meeting, okay? What do? You face the enemy. You say, Satan, hands off. You, that weapon that you are forming, the Bible says, every weapon formed against you shall not prosper. So you pray scripture. Father, every weapon that is prospering against Lisa tonight will not prosper. I break it in the name of Jesus. It's an ugly meeting. It's a breaking and a shattering. And then you put all your trust in God. What have you just done? You've taken, must you always pray for your kids' protection? Yes, that would be Kronos. I pray for my family's protection every day. I pray for Janae and Caleb every single day. I pray for two things: spiritual protection, so that Caleb will know God. And I pray for physical protection against sickness and stuff. And then I know I'm positioned. I obey God with these things. So I say, thank you, Lord, that my farm is protected. My home, what I belong, my finances, my investments I bring to you. Thank you, your protection is over it. That is general. Kronos, I always do it. But now tonight with Lisa's matric farewell, this is a Kairos moment. A very specific wall needs to be built. What about you? What is going on in your life at this moment? Okay? Is there walls that needs to be built? Do it. That's why we are here tonight. Is there someone you are worried sick about them? In fact, some of you are crying about people you love in the evenings because you care so much. God's compassion. Is there a very, very specific time that's happening in their life? Is it a strategic time? It's a Kairos moment. So what do? You build a wall around that person. Isn't it amazing that we can do that? So I want to give you a testimony. One night I actually had a dream about Ben. And he, strangely, he hurt his knee in the dream. You remember the story. And it was just the weirdest dream because it's just a stupid knee injury. But in my dream, I am sobbing. I'm crying away. I don't know. And I wake up and I knew it's a dream from God because it felt so real. I woke up and I'm like, oh, Ben's knee is okay. It was only a dream. But I knew it was from God. So I actually messaged him. And I remember the dream very clearly. It was one, not now anymore, but it was at your left knee. And I remember the knee that I touched because I prayed for it in my dream. And I was so stupid because now I'm trying to spiritualize this. I'm like, Ben, maybe it's something spiritual of you, you know what. So we pray for your protection. 10 days later, the guy dislocates his left knee. By that time, both of us forgot about the WhatsApp. We only remembered it later, but God warned us. He was crawling off the field, but it was a Kairos moment. But because we prayed even back then, we thought we were praying into his heart. We were making a way. And so we placed our hands, some of us in our church, on his knee. He got up and he continued to play. It was just, I think, probably the most direct miracle I've been involved in. But it was a Kairos moment. He was there on the field at that moment, right there. And we stepped up, took the window of opportunity, and God did a work. And so there's scary examples also on missions. Some of you guys will have stories. So you'll be praying somewhere, and sometimes we go to dangerous places. We don't try and go there on our own. But from HQ, they go to Pakistan and stuff, and they literally are escorted with people with guns like this. And so they're preaching somewhere and see us, apostle from that side. God just spoke to them, get into the cars and go. And then just after that, a fight break up. Everyone shoots one another. It's a bloodbath. It's a kairos moment of stepping under God's protection, praying for it and obeying. Jy moet in die boubedryf wees met jou gebede. So who's the first person you build walls around? Yourself. In essence, is what Jesus taught us when he said, Father, deliver us from evil. He's teaching us. We know God never tempts us, okay? But he's showing us something. He's saying, you have to partner with me in this. Pray it over you. So you build the wall. Say, Father, protect me today. So walk out of my house. Yes, physically, but most important, spiritually. Protect my eyes, Lord. Protect my heart. Build a wall around my faith. Let me just grow more in love with you today, not less. There's a wall. Boom. Are you with me? Almost done. I hope some of you are getting excited to pray for someone. That's actually what my hope is. Check this. This is just another example. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. About that time. Again, very specific time. Okay, let's put this together. I've got an example of a prayer we're going to put up here. And each one of them, I've got a, in brackets what we are doing. We're putting 3 weeks together. Now, you could spend a lot more time on one section than this is just for the example, all right? But it sounds more or less like this. Building a wall of protection. Ben, there's your name. Father, I bring Ben before you. What are you doing? You are creating a meeting. Paga. Okay? You are bringing someone into the courts of God. Father, I bring Ben before you. What do we say? What happens the moment when you speak to the Father and you have given your life to Jesus? Jesus is the what? He's the intercession. In other words, the Bible also calls him the advocate. Okay, advocate. So he's standing next to the Father. Rudy comes into the Father's presence. He says, Father, I bring Ben before you. As Rudy speaks, Jesus, the advocate, lets the Father know that Rudy can speak to him because Jesus paid for his blood. And the Father says, oh yes, I remember. He knows me. He must come, right? The advocate. So Rudy is there. Now he's bringing Ben, all right? And the Father's just, the more the merrier. Bring them in, okay? You're creating a meeting. Now you progress. Father, I ask that you deliver him or Ben from every trap Satan has set for him. You are Ben's deliverer. What are you doing? You're building a wall. There's also a scripture that says God gets us out of every silly trap the enemy sets for us, okay? Building a wall. So you can carry on along those lines. Father, I build a strong wall. The enemy cannot even come in where you are present. So surround Ben. You can dwell on it. But in fact, you are building a wall. All right. There's your ugly part, the ugly meeting. Because you must now also get Satan's hands off. All right. Satan, I bind this plan of yours and break any hold you might have on Ben. Your weapons against Ben won't prosper. So you are also meeting with the enemy. Why can you do it? Because Christ met with him and beat him. You actually are not victorious over him as a principle. Christ is, but you can deliver what Christ has produced. So in that sense, we are victorious over the enemy based on what he has done. Good luck not knowing Jesus and trying to take on Satan, okay? I don't know if it's going to turn out that well. There we go. Father, I release your power, your love, and guidance into this situation right now. So you did the ugly meeting, now you're making the beautiful meeting. Lord, I just pray your loving. I just pray that at this time that's difficult for Ben, he will experience even your love more than ever, because your love is so much stronger than any power out there. You are an intercessor when you pray like this. And then you finish off, I do this in the name of Jesus, basing all my intercession on the work of intercession Christ. This example you can get in the book. I told you guys we're working through this book called Intercessory Prayer. Ask at the info table if you want information. Best book I've got on my shelf on prayer by far. And so here's my question. We're finishing off, and you can stand up, please, in this place.